Hello, I'm Jeff Stilling, and this is Football's Greatest, where each week we sit down and discuss some of the greatest players to grace the beautiful game. This week, we're going to be talking the top five Bundesliga players, and I'm joined by a man who is perfectly positioned to judge those five, Michael Ballack.
Even if he doesn't play outside the Bundesliga, he's the figure over the last decade, a face of the Bundesliga, not just for Bayern Munich. I mean, he had this whole package, and that's why I would say it was the best player I played with. That's why I think it's one of my all-time favorite players. He has the experience as a player in different leagues, La Liga, Premier League, Bundesliga. He has everything. He played it on the highest level.
Michael, thanks for joining us for this. It's very nice to see you. Before we move on to German players, being English, I just want to touch on a couple of Englishmen who've made an impact over there. Jude Bellingham, has his progress surprised you? Because he was, you know, a name that went under the radar almost before he started to perform so brilliantly at Dortmund.
Yes, I mean, his development is outstanding. You know, he had a really good environment to grow as a young player at Borussia Dortmund. It's a fantastic club to start a career, to make your experience on a high quality basis. And it was clear that he was in a lot of books of big clubs. But yeah, moving maybe to the biggest club in the world was a bit surprising because on the other way, you could see that he has a huge confidence, you know, and he proved that now every single week in terms of creating, in terms of playing well, but especially in terms of scoring goals. I mean, it's unbelievable how quick he developed in a difficult club, you know, especially at a young age. But that shows his huge quality he has personally, but also individually.
Obviously, you've got Harry Kane playing in the Bundesliga now, but over the years, I was thinking back, you know, Jadon Sancho and Owen Hargreaves, Reece Nelson, Paul Lambert, if you go back far enough, Tony Woodcock, Kevin Keegan. It's always been a great place for English players to ply their trade.
Yes, because it's a similar style of football, you know, the Bundesliga. And it's physical, and all these players you mentioned, they love also, most of them, the physical aspect. Also, Jude is a very physical player. And that's the basic, that's the fundament to become a good player. If you can kick the ball in a certain way. But the physicality, I think if you're confident with that and you have this ability to run, to make duels, to have a certain character. And that's why I think English players adapt so well to the Bundesliga.
Do you see any similarities between Jude Bellingham's game and the way you used to play the game?
A little bit. I thought I was scoring a lot of goals, but if you see how many goals he scores now, and also the way he scores goals, his creating, it's not just enter the box or joining the box and finish a cross or an assist from someone. He's also creating himself. He's dribbling with the ball into the box. So he has everything, you know, to make the difference, to be a different player on a high level. And that's what's so special about these kind of players, midfield players who scoring goals, because that's something every coach wishes, every team wishes, because it's unpredictable. That's not what something is specially asked for. That's an addition to your game, to your build-up, to your physicality, to your job you're doing for the team. But if you're scoring goals, and this is something you cannot learn. You cannot learn. You have it or you don't have it. Or you create it in a certain way over the period of time. And he's outstanding at a very young age already, because normally it needs experience for the space. And that's what I described. You need to learn that with games, with experience. Then it comes, you learn which ways you go, which ways you can't go. But the basement is an unbelievable physically ambition to go that way, is always into the box, because you have to go back as well. I know that from myself, how fit you have to be to create that, but also technically ambitioned. And yeah, I don't want to
compare myself with him because I think he's much better on a very young age.
Well, I don't know. You made a heck of an impact, not just in England, but in Germany and worldwide as well. So look, let's talk about your five top Bundesliga players then. And the first one, I think, will surprise a lot of people because it's a player you played with at Leverkusen, and it's Emerson. Tell me about him.
Yes. Yes, I think it was the best player I played with. I have to say that. Maybe it was also the time at my age, with 22, I joined Bayer Leverkusen. And to joining a really good group of players was important for me. But with him on the side, playing on the side, I learned so much in training. He never got down, you know, he never really tackled because he had such a good view, such a good timing for duels, for every duel, to read a game, to close space, to create space, to bring other players in possession, to being strong physically. I mean, he had this whole package, and that's why I would say it was the best player I played with at these days anyway, but also overall, and that's why I think it's one of my all-time favorite players.
So the best player you've played with, full stop?
Yes.
That's what you're saying?
Maybe surprise you because he was not this player who, when we talk about Messi or Ronaldo, because everyone sees the goals, sees the moments in the game and this magician of these kind of players. But if you would ask coaches, managers, what is the most important position in the game, it's the midfield player, it's the defensive midfield player. When we talk about the Xavis, you know, and the Iniestas, to dominate a game, it's we have to talk about Emerson because, like I described him before, he had everything and he was a stabilizer, he was a leader. It was a joy to play next to him because it made it so much easier for myself, for my game to develop and to learn. And that's why I have to mention him, and he was an outstanding player. Maybe not on the first few for the fans, because he did so much work which was not obviously seen for a fan, because it was a lot also without the ball. But like I said, I have to mention him.
Wonderful. I was reading that not only does he have a Brazilian passport, he's also got an Italian passport, a German passport, and a Qatari passport. And I'm sure that can't be legal. But hey, who came closest in terms of comparison to Emerson?
A guy who I played with was Makelele, in the same position at Chelsea. A very, very smart guy with such a great football intelligence in that position was Makelele. And funny guy, you know, was a pleasure, always a joy to play with him because it was easy next to him. Because you expect a good positioning, yeah. He reads the game also really, really well. He brought you unselfish player. He always saw the better opponent, you know, and you could expect good balls and a simple game. You know, these were players who were simple in their game, and that makes them so special, the simplicity of their game. That was their biggest strength and the positioning. But I loved playing with Makelele because, as I described, great player and a great build-up for our game.
I hope you're enjoying the show. We can't do it without you. If you're listening to us on your favourite podcast platform, please press follow to make sure we're in your feed every week. Look, just touching on Leverkusen now, because Xabi Alonso's in charge there at the moment, who you must have played against many, many times during the course of your career. Do you see Alonso as becoming an elite manager?
Yes. I mean, he does a fantastic job. He has everything. He has the experience as a player in different leagues, La Liga, Premier League, Bundesliga. He has everything. He played it on the highest level, also for the national team. So there's nothing what he doesn't know as a player. But also that you don't become automatically a good coach or manager, but he showed that very early now in a very calm way. He's a smart character, he's a calm character, and that's, I think, players like that. He has this natural personality which helps you as a coach to be accepted, to be respected by the players. So that's why he has the whole package. And now it's about communication, you know, about communication, leading that group, bringing a group together to be successful. That's something individually you cannot really learn. You can learn the basics as a manager, how to train a team, a lot of systems you can play, 5-4 in the back, whatever. But football is very simple. It's a lot about communication. And if you have this package, which I described, and he has it, the basement is there to become a great coach.
Okay. Let's talk about a couple of wingers who've been brilliant in the Bundesliga and elsewhere as well. And the first fella you were with at Chelsea for a short time, and it's Arjen Robben. Would it be right to describe him as one of the best wingers in the world?
Yes. I remember Arjen when I joined Chelsea, he was vulnerable. You know, vulnerable in a way that he was not really... He didn't really trust his body. I had a similar player, Mehmet Scholl, at Bayern Munich. A lot of muscle problems. And that's why I think at the beginning it affected his game. He could even better even in the Premier League. But sometimes he got injured. And when you get injured a lot or you have these problems, you lose a bit of trust in your body. And that's, I think, with the move to Bayern Munich, yeah, with the special relationship to Dr. Müller-Wohlfahrt he had, he stabilized his body and that he became an unbelievable player, in my opinion, because I knew him from the dressing room and from every day in Chelsea, and I saw him at Bayern Munich. He played Real Madrid, of course. But I think with the move to Bayern, he became that outstanding player because he has this unbelievable ability with his left foot to do everything on the pitch.
And he became an unbelievable goal scorer there as well, didn't he? And his record, it's 99 goals in 201 appearances. That's phenomenal, especially for a winger.
Yes, and I said it. Even if, as a defender, if you knew he would cut inside, everyone knew he, 90% he would go on his left foot. But you couldn't really block him even or defend him. Even knowing he would do that, he was so good. And that was he was doing that he had this unbelievable ability scoring nearly from every position with his left foot.
Yeah, and if you managed to stop Arjen Robben in his Bayern days, of course, on the other side, you had to stop Frank Ribery as well. were they very different characters, Michael?
Yes, I think so. Two unbelievable players. That's why I mentioned both at my best five. I liked Frank because he was not an easy player. You know, sometimes his personality, went a bit out of range with him, sometimes off the pitch, sometimes on the pitch. He got a few red cards. Arjen was more calm. Arjen was very ambitious, very settled, you know, in his game, more than Frank. Frank's game was emotional at the beginning. He learned a lot, I think, from Uli Hoeneß. Uli Hoeneß was head and hand on him. He talked a lot, helped him a lot over time to develop, to stabilize his game, because he has his unbelievable ambitions as well to create something. And he was this dribbler with the ball, but also without the ball. You know, when he was 1v1 and he lost the ball, he had immediately his body into the between the opponent and the ball to get the ball back. So he was not the player 100% all or nothing. He had this special feeling for his offensive actions, even if he couldn't pass the opponent, but not losing the ball. And that was something every manager dreamed of, because he was an offensive player, but you knew he had this care to the ball, you know, and don't give the ball easy away. And plus, of course, creating space, creating something with the ball. He was really special. But two totally different characters, Arjen and Frank.
Yeah, of course, they played together, didn't they, in that Champions League final against Chelsea. Did you have mixed emotions that night?
Yeah, I remember I was commentating, I think, for Sky at this match. And of course, it was a 50-50, because I played 4 years for both clubs. I had great memories with both clubs, and people ask me a lot for who is your favorite. I said, I don't care, because it's an easy game to support for me, because I can just win, you know. But of course, this was a night everyone expected Bayern to win. Home advantage, you know, and Bayern was in a great shape. Chelsea at this year, I mean, if I look back, maybe they had better years to win, to deserve the Champions League. But they did it. They made it this year in a certain way. And even in that game as an underdog. So it was also, incredible to see how they resistant in that environment, difficult environment, over this quarterfinal, semifinal, and then in this final in Munich.
You may have heard that NordVPN is an essential cybersecurity tool which protects all your personal data whilst online. But did you know it could save you money? With NordVPN, you can take advantage of cheaper pricing in other countries by switching your location with one click. For example, if you're going on holiday, you can book flights, hotels, and rental cars via another region and take advantage of the cheaper prices in that region. NordVPN is the same price as a cup of coffee a month, but with these savings, NordVPN essentially pays for itself. To grab our huge discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/fgpod. This code will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is in the episode description box. In your top 5, you've put a goalkeeper in, and I've seen him described as the complete keeper, and that's Manuel Neuer.
Yes, and of course, if I look back, who's the best players over the last 20 years in the Bundesliga? As you can mention so many names, but even Oliver Kahn was in my mind. But I think Manuel, he dominated the goalkeeper game. He interpreted it in a new way. His ambition, his quality to read situations, to save balls, there's no words who really can describe his outstanding game, his outstanding quality on the goalkeeper position. So for me, he's one of these outstanding goalkeepers, or especially not even in that position, players over the last periods in the Bundesliga. It's amazing to see him coming back now from a very, very difficult injury and being immediately on that level again. So that's also a quality he showed. So he showed everything so far. That's why he's under my top 5.
Yeah. Could he yet be the German goalkeeper at the Euros?
Absolutely. There's Ter Stegen. Of course, we have another great goalkeeper, also Trapp for Frankfurt. But Manuel is on another level. If Manuel is fit, he's on another level. And everyone will agree with that. It's just, is he able to... Like I described, he's coming back from a difficult injury. He has to maintain his health, his stability over the next month. And if he can do that, of course, he could be number one again.
Do you think there's an argument, Michael, to say that he could be the best goalkeeper of all time? I mean, if you ask Englishmen of my generation, we would say Gordon Banks, for example, and people will talk about Buffon and Dino Zoff. But is there an argument to be made that Manuel Neuer is the best of all time?
I mean, we have to ask these other goalkeepers, to be honest, because maybe then we have to go more in detail and they have to have a talk. And if we ask Buffon, for example, he mentioned Manuel Neuer as one of the best of all time. And that says everything. I think this is something we should go for. But of course, there's always... plus and minus in a certain ways, but Manuel could be the one.
Yeah, I've heard him say that he could have been an outfield player if he hadn't been a goalkeeper.
Yes.
Would you agree?
Yes, I think he started even when he was young outside. And he's so calm. He has the technical ability to play outside. Sometimes he does it even in training, I think.
So number 5, well, this will be no surprise at all because he has just been an amazing player for his club and his country for... well, as long as I can remember.
Yeah, Thomas Müller.
Yeah.
Yeah, Thomas is, even if he doesn't play outside the Bundesliga, he's the figure over the last decade, I think, to be a face of the Bundesliga, not just for Bayern Munich, because he's so smart on and off the pitch. Maybe he's not individually the best player. You know, he was not. But the ability, what's coming out of his talent, he reads... the game so well, he's organized, he has so many positive effects on the game, and that's why he maintained his position at a very difficult club to overcome so many concurrences on his position and making such an impact on the game for Bayern Munich, being successful. You mentioned it. He won everything with the club, with the national team. But I want to talk about individually. He's such an intelligent player in terms of finding space without the ball. Mm. He's one of the best players without the ball, creating space for himself, for other players. I was talking about Emerson at the beginning. I mean, I never played with Thomas, but I'm sure a lot of players will say that who played with him, when you ask them who was the best player you played with, he comes up in many ways. He's so special. And yeah, I hope he, even after his career, he will have an input on football, especially on German football, because he has such a knowledge and such a good understanding of the game.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I saw him described as the best player in the world without the ball. How much of that is down to his footballing intelligence, would you say?
That's so important. You said it, football intelligence. What is football intelligence? It's difficult to describe. Yeah. We have to name Thomas Müller. Look, Thomas Müller. Because it's not an individual sport. And these kind of players are so important as an addition of the whole group on and off the pitch. But especially, we talk about on the pitch, defensive organization, communication, leadership, creating space, being on the right time, scoring goals. I mean, he has everything. And when you see his body, you don't think he's able to do that over a long period. He has not a lot of injuries, so he's always fit. He's always there. He's a representative for the club in such a good way, which is also really important. Yeah, and that's why he's one of the best ever.
The most decorated footballer in German history. 33 trophies and counting at the moment. Michael, I just want to say thank you very much indeed for telling us about your five greatest Bundesliga players. Enjoyed it very much.
Pleasure.
And we've reached the end of Football's Greatest. My thanks to Michael Ballack for joining us today. Don't forget to look out for another episode with Michael when he talks about the Bundesliga players who have made the most impact in the Premier League. Next time on Football's Greatest, Julian Lescott discusses the greatest title win.
He got sent off in the first half and he went into the changing rooms and the manager followed him in. So the manager's left the dugout. Again, this wouldn't happen nowadays. He followed him in during the game and they was had each other by the scruff of the neck in the changing room whilst the game's going on.
If you're watching on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode of Football's Greatest. And if you're listening to us on your favourite podcast platform, please press follow so you will get us in your feed every single week. Thanks for joining us. Football's Greatest is a Folding Pocket production with BBC Studios.